This week on Peace to Live By.
There are two predominant levels of thinking within Christians I have known, and still two more beyond that. That gives us what I call the four levels of inner self.
Welcome to the program today. Peace to Live By is a radio ministry featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton, found online at peacetoliveby.org. This program exists to build up Christians in becoming more like Jesus Christ and to give witness of the truth to those who do not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, here's today's message.
Over the course of the next several months, I want us to look at and consider the book of James. This New Testament epistle, I feel, will be beneficial to us as we really dive into it and break it down, trying to squeeze out of it all that we can. It is probably a familiar text to many of you, as I know it is for me. I think we will find as we study it that there is a lot we can get out of it that we can take away from it and apply in our lives. There is much underneath the surface for sure. Now, the book of James was written by a man named James, for the title then follows the author of the book. The author bearing the name James was actually Jesus' half-brother in my position. The author isn't the brother of John, the one whom Jesus loved, who wrote the Gospel of John, as that James died a martyr's death early on in the beginnings of the Gospel being proclaimed. See Acts chapter 12. Therefore, that's why we don't call him the Apostle James, because he was not of the original 12 disciples of Jesus. The date for the writing seems to be in the mid to late 40s in the first century, so some 15 to 20 years after Jesus' ascension into heaven. I do not want us to get focused on the fact that this letter was written to Jewish Christians in this study. Obviously, this information being presented to us in the New Testament, it is relevant and applicable to all Christians, whether we have any kind of Jewish background or not. That's a great truth about God's Word. It is always profitable to us, no matter what the passage. And I believe that we are going to find great riches here as we study this book from our Lord's half-brother. There are three primary things I want us to keep in mind as we study the book of James here. These are three methods of understanding I want us to consider as we go through this epistle. I think really these methods work well when looking at any New Testament text, and I believe they will be particularly beneficial to us as we reflect upon the many truths of this book. The first thing is the four levels of inner self. The second is the practice of giving up control. The third is the law of liberty, that is, living and free. I will discuss the first method today, and then we will discuss the other two next week, right before we dive into the book of James. Let me explain what I mean by the first method, the four levels of inner self. As I have become acquainted with and observed many Christians over the years, I have noticed that people are on different levels of consciousness and where they stand with their relationships with God and as new creations. While the Apostle Paul clearly taught us that we become a new creation at the moment we accept the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is also true that instant transformation, which occurs at the spiritual level, does not immediately manifest itself and an outward change of character. It should, over time, lead us to become more and more like God wants us to be. The problem is that for many, it does not. I have known a vast variety of Christians, then, in my almost 20 years of being a believer in Jesus at the time of giving this message. There are two predominant levels of thinking within Christians I have known, and still two more beyond that. That gives us what I call the four levels of inner self. This is a concept that I have developed to explain what I have seen and to simplify it in an understandable way. Understanding these levels will also help people identify where they are at currently on the scale so that they can deal with issues in their minds and become more faith-filled, more God-empowered. The four levels of inner self are as follows, with a corresponding summary. Within each level, there are four dominant attitudes that are present. Level 1, the depression state. In this state of mind, the Christian is dysfunctionally negative. Attitudes of unhappiness and lowness are predominant, and an overall attitude of bitterness may also exist. There may even be a sense of hopelessness from some negative past event. Level 2, the negative existence. This negative mindset is not as severe as the first. However, within this person's mind runs common attitudes of anxiety, self-righteousness, aggravation, and wantingness. Level 3, the positive existence. Now we have moved to the positive side of the levels of inner self. Under this type of mindset, the person is characterized by mental attitudes of faith, easygoingness, acceptance of others and life situations, and an overall attitude of enjoyment. Level 4. The above state. This is the ultimate level of mental well-being. It is characterized by predominant attitudes of love of self and others, a trusting joy in life and God, a mind dominated by peace, and a greater level of patience. These are the first four fruits of the Spirit. It is the childlike level that Jesus talked about. Clearly, our goal in life is to arrive at the fourth level and stay there. We want to be level 4 Christians. Now, most people are not currently at this level, myself included. This is the level of people like the late Billy Graham, Rick Warren, Tony Evans, Joyce Meyer, and that old lady at your church of which she is always happy and nothing seems to bother her. Let us break down these levels further to better understand the meaning behind them. Level 1, the depression state. Under the depression state, the Christian is dominated by feelings of unhappiness and lowness, and even hopelessness. A sense of lowness is the ultimate negative emotion, I believe, because it is characterized by a humiliated existence. Perhaps something wrong was done. There is an overwhelming sense of guilt, and the person feels there's no overcoming it. Also, in this state is a sense that there's no point in hoping for anything good to come, because good usually doesn't happen. There is a sense of being victimized, and a great sense of placing blame upon others for one's problems. There may be a sense of overall tiredness and unmotivation to do much of anything. This person definitely doesn't have life by the horns, but rather, life has the person by the horns. So, within this mindset, there is a great inward focus on the self. Needs of others really cannot be considered here. There is a predominant concern about one's own emotions. The reward to this kind of mindset is the person gets to feed off of the negative emotions of self-pity. The person can get addicted to feeling sorry for themselves. Even the basic truths of the Bible are seen in a negative light. In fact, this person may be mad at God, wondering why God has allowed them to be found in seemingly such negative circumstances. The person may believe God has failed them, let them down, or become a traitor against them. Because there is such a great inward focus on the self, and a tendency for self-pity, the person may even have an underlying attitude of bitterness. I define bitterness as a more entrenched anger. It is an accumulated anger at the world and others for a heaped-up sense of wrong that has occurred against the individual. He or she views life as being totally unrewarding and unfavorable to them. Certain others are viewed to have treated them particularly badly, which causes the person not only to harbor unforgiveness in their spirit, but also severe resentment. Hopelessness sets in when the person feels completely full of mourning. A person may feel trapped by a life circumstance of which there seems to be no solution to get out from under it. They envision themselves as being the person in the back alley who got mugged and then, while on the ground, got shot and left for dead. There is no point anymore. No matter what the person tries to do to overcome their feelings, nothing seems to work. They are stuck and fallen into a deep, dark, and very negative hole. This kind of existence can continue on for years after whatever event or series of events has transpired. Actually, it can last an entire lifetime if not dealt with properly. Level 2, the negative existence. The overall general negative existence of the Christian is characterized by feelings of anxiety, self-righteousness, aggravation, and yes, wantingness. Anxiety being the first overarching attitude, the favorite hobby of this person is the mindset of worry. The feeling of worry predominates most things within the person's life, and he or she does not realize this fact because it has become such a regular habit to worry. A big problem with worry, as we will learn in the book of James, is that when we continually worry about something, it allows negative power to work against us. In other words, yes, what we worry about tends to happen in our lives in some way, shape, or form, unfortunately. This is due not only to the negative power released in the spiritual realm by having faith in what Satan tells us, but also because of the tendency to subconsciously sabotage oneself. Self-righteousness is prominent at this level of inner self. The person with an overall attitude of self-righteousness believes that he or she's way of living the Christian life is the correct way, and that all other ways are either incomplete or, in fact, wrong, sinful. Self-righteousness works to make a person anxious and aggravated. There is a great fear of being found out to be wrong about something. An attitude of perfectionism is present. Jesus' call to be perfect has been taken to mean in outward actions, and boy, it shows. There is aggravation that crops up when the person's correct way is not followed, and it is blanketed as a moral sense of righteous indignation and justice. Thirdly, an overall attitude of aggravation is dominant inside of us when we have refused to let go of a past negative event or the negative action of a person. We are still upset about what has occurred, and we only think about it from our side, from our perspective. Unlike the first level of inner self, this kind of anger is a functional anger, occurring in our minds from time to time. It doesn't shut us down like bitterness can, but it is there in the background. Then finally, within the second level of inner self, the negative existence is a great sense of wantingness. What I mean is that the person has strong cravings for different things. This can be for a good reputation. It can be for more possessions, like those that pertain to hobbies, for example, getting a new car, more sports collectibles, or even the newest video games. It can be the strong desire to get married and even have children. The longing can be for a better position within one's career and the respect that comes from those at the top. It can be for a high position within one's church. Whatever the case, there is often a mental fire consuming the person, which manifests itself in the outward actions of unnecessary hard work and sacrifice. Worry comes into the picture here to help out with the wantingness. What the person doesn't realize is that this is all self-defeating and unnecessary and can actually prevent the person from receiving what they want. How does this person view others at the level of the negative existence? Because the person is full of fear, he or she has an overall distrust of others' behavior. This may be conscious or subconscious. The person believes that others are generally up to no good or have an ulterior motive behind what they want or are asking. Since the person has a lot of built-up anger, they can become easily offended. When a person doesn't behave toward them as they think they should, they often take it personally. Their view of themselves, including their wishes, the things they want, dominates their thinking. In other words, they have trouble seeing past themselves to the real needs of others. The third level of inner self. Under the third level of thinking, a person moves from an overall negative mindset, whether they are on level one or two, to an overall positive mindset. This is the faith-filled mind. This is the person that is becoming more and more like Jesus. Within faith, a person is not dominated by anxiety anymore. Even when it crops up, it doesn't last long. It has no stronghold. The person knows that whatever happens in life, there is an understanding in the background that everything will work out for the good, as Romans 8:28 states. This is because of God's power surrounding them. Anxiety doesn't flood the mind. Because of this, God's power is allowed to flow freely. The person's life is characterized by success and an unusual amount of supernatural favor. Things just seem to go this person's way a lot of the time. The flow of the river has changed from the negative to the positive. Since the person is faith-filled, the person is also easygoing. They live in a comfortable state, both outwardly and inwardly. If the person steps outside his or her comfort zone, it is deliberately and not due to a negative force unexpectedly brought upon them. The person is okay with whatever is decided within a group, whether that be family or friends. They are not stuck on what they personally want. The person can listen to other people's points of view without getting upset by them or feeling a need to correct them. As a result, they have friends who are faithful. They are a likable person, and people seek to be around them because they don't have an overall negative vibe or a negative presence. So while the person is easygoing, he or she is accepting of life in general. Since the overall mindset of fear is not present, the person feels secure and doesn't fear a sudden problem or a sudden ruinous event. The person has high self-confidence and an overall background confidence that God is on their side. And he is, for again, the person is allowing God's power to flow abundantly. The person is satisfied with what they have and their position in life. They're happy with where they live, the job they have, the car they drive, and the person they're married to. Making change to career or possessions is infrequent. Things are very stable. Happiness is a dominant theme within the person. The drive to always obtain more is absent. Enjoyment is possible at this level because the person has moved over to the positive side inside their minds. This might be the most distinguishing characteristic that a person has moved over into a positive state. The person is able to enjoy life in general, and that includes both work and other people. With work, he or she genuinely enjoys what they do, and there is no sense of dreading anything or having particularly negative emotions about anything related to work. The person is able to enjoy hobbies and free time without a sense of guilt that he or she really ought to be doing something else with their time. Because this person views themselves with an overall positivity, they are able to view others in the same light. They are able to provide help for others that actually helps them and is not just some half-court shot at trying to help a person. They can give because they have. The fourth level of inner self. With the fourth level, these people are characterized by attitudes of love, joy, peace, and patience, the first four fruits of the Spirit. These are the predominant attitudes the person brings out in his or her character. It is the state that we all strive to reach in our lives. More easily said, there may be times where we reach this state for a short time, only to fall back into the third level. A person who has been truly tried and experienced what life has to offer reaches this state. This person emits an energy that obviously shows a greater control than most. It is such a positive energy that the person is adored, admired, and automatically respected. This person, first of all, is in the realm of love. He or she is in an above state. Without effort, the person finds themselves around people who love them in return. They are around positive and successful people by default. One reason for this is because negative people feel too uncomfortable in their presence. There is a natural likability about the person. They are full of wisdom and say the right things at the right times. They have nothing against anyone, no enemies to speak of. Love of self is at its highest. They don't carry around any past regrets. Everything has been let go of and is all right. A thankful attitude permeates, and they naturally serve and help others around them. Joy is also present in the above person. They are able to see the world around them clearly and precisely. They understand the ways of God, how God works, and are very familiar with his dealings in their own life. They're able to give great advice to others because of their connectedness with their own experience. In no real way, shape, or form do unpleasant circumstances or so-called bad news affect this type of person. They are above all of that. They understand their own character thoroughly and the character of others. This gives them good judgment in all matters contemplated. They are satisfied with life and with themselves. Peace is ever present in the above individual. Peace is the bedrock, the foundation of the person. Stillness of mind exists. An attitude of wantingness really does not exist. Everything is good. All negativity of any kind has been superseded. All thoughts are positive. Nothing seems to bother the person. Self-confidence and dependence on God's ability, what we might call trust in God, is at its highest. The loss of negativity and trust in God allows the person naturally to receive what the person requests. It is a pleasurable experience to be around in the presence of such a person. Finally, the above person is patient. What I mean is that there is not only a willingness to wait for whatever it is, but within that willingness is seen no eagerness at all. The craving for whatever it is to come to pass has been relinquished, and only a quiet and confident patience exists. The person can wait with a laugh and a smile. So, to summarize the four different categories of inner self in regard to winning and losing in various life situations, here are the results one can expect within each group. Level 1, the depressed state, the person loses most of the time. Level 2, the negative existence, the person loses a majority of the times. Level 3, the positive existence, the person wins a majority of the times. And level 4, the above state, the person wins most of the time. Conclusion. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As I said, next week, we will discuss my two other methods of understanding before we dive headfirst into the book of James. I hope everyone has a great week, and I'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you, Daniel. You've been listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. Again, that web address is peacetoliveby.org. If you want to contact Daniel directly, send your email to daniel@peacetoliveby.org. We love to hear from our listeners. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. Your messages are encouraging and inspiring for us. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry, Powell, Ohio.